Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These are the phenomenal credentials that authorize Jesus to be the King of Kings. Today, more reasons why he rightfully owns that title. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer, Isaiah has some of the clearest and most compelling revelation of the coming King in all the Old Testament.
Dave, that's true, and it's not just Isaiah chapter 9 that you referenced. I'm thinking, for example, of Isaiah chapter 53. As a matter of fact, someone said that Isaiah wrote chapter 53 as if he were sitting at the foot of the cross. It's a description of crucifixion. It's a description of what Jesus Christ would do to redeem us. Marvelous. We here at Running to Win are so deeply grateful for the many of you who support this ministry, and even as we anticipate the new year, we hope to expand. At the end of this message, I'm going to be reading you a letter from someone. Meanwhile, would you consider becoming an endurance partner? That's someone who stands with us regularly with their gifts and with their prayers. Here's what you do to get some info. Go to rtwofferer.com or call us at 1-888-218-9337. But now let us go to the pulpit of the Moody Church. First of all, you'll notice that he's a wonderful counselor, a wonderful counselor. Now, let me ask you a question. Where do you go when life gets difficult? Where do you go when you need counsel? Where do you go when the pain is so deep that you can scarcely bear it? Do you go to a bar? Do you use drugs to somehow deaden the pain? Do you go to a friend who has the same predicament as you do? It might be helpful to talk, but what you need is some counselor who can really intervene. And Jesus is the wonderful counselor. That word wonderful really means supernatural. He's the supernatural counselor. Have you gone to him for counsel? You know that compare for just a moment a human counselor and Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with going to a human counselor if that counselor has the wisdom actually to point us to Jesus. Because Jesus is able to get to the deeper issues as a counselor. He doesn't deal simply with symptoms. Think of it this way. An earthly counselor has partial knowledge. When you're in therapy, you have to explain everything, and he tries to get some kind of wisdom and context. With Jesus, you can tell him everything, but it'll be for your benefit, not for his. He knows exactly what happened to you when you were 2 years old. He is able to connect dots that no human counselor can ever connect because his knowledge is exhaustive and complete. So you come to somebody who already knows all about you. You come also to somebody who has infinite power. Human counselors can do certain things, but who is able to really get to the depths of your spirit and deal with the issues deep inside that have to do with regret and anger and resentment? Who's able to get to that except Jesus, who is the doctor of the human heart and understands us so well? And a human counselor may be trustworthy, perhaps not trustworthy. Many years ago, Rebecca and I were counseling a young woman, and she said, "You know what I like about talking with Jesus?" And we said, "What?" And she said, "When you tell Jesus something, he doesn't tell anybody about it. You can trust him with your secrets," which he, by the way, already knows all about. So you never shock Jesus. Jesus never sits there and says, "You know, I thought I had heard it all, but now that you've come, I guess I haven't." He knows all about you when you come. To the church in Laodicea, Jesus as a counselor, he says, I counsel you to buy gold. I counsel you to open your eyes that you might see. They thought they had one set of problems. Jesus as the counselor showed them another. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, how do I have Jesus as my counselor? Well, a good beginning point would be to read what he has to say about your predicament. Were you fired this past week because of your integrity? Were you downgraded? Blessed are you when men say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Jesus speaks blessing in the midst of injustice. Is it that the strain of life is beginning to get to you? Jesus, the wise counselor, says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. Are you overburdened with the cares of life? Jesus said, look at the lilies of the field. They grow and they flower. The birds of the air get fed. Therefore, your heavenly Father's not going to forget about you. You go to Jesus, the wonderful counselor. But we must hurry on. You'll notice it says, the mighty God. I love that. You know, there are people who say, nowhere in the Bible is Jesus expressly called God. Oh, yes, right here. He's spoken of as the mighty God. In Hebrews 1:8, it says, to the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. There you have another reference. When those folks come to your door in twos and they knock and they want to instruct you, here are some verses you can remember. And remember the other question that I mentioned a few weeks ago, you must always answer, do you worship Jesus? Absolutely critical. Because if they say yes, they are worshiping someone less than God because they don't believe in the divinity of Jesus. If they say no, they go against the book of Revelation where it says they worshiped the Lamb. We worship Jesus because he is the mighty God. He is the mighty God. Now, you know, the reason we need a mighty God to rescue us is our need is so great. If you're drowning and you're flailing away in the water, perhaps a lifeguard is able to rescue you. But if you're dead, if you are absolutely dead and you're to come to life, lifeguard won't help you there, my friend. You need God. Isn't it somewhat interesting that the depth of our need, my dear friend, is indicated by who it is that came to rescue us? God says this project of humanity is in such deep trouble because of their sin that only I am able to come and rescue them, and there's nobody else out there who's able to do it. Jesus is the mighty God. And then we continue to hurry on here. You notice the everlasting Father. The everlasting Father. Now that should throw you just for a moment, because we believe in the Trinity. We believe that the Father is different from the Son. Now, to explain, God is one in essence. There's only one spirit that pervades the whole universe. There's not three spirits. In essence, God is one. But there's no doubt that there are three persons in the Trinity. So is Isaiah saying here that Jesus is the Father? Contrary to other teaching that is clear in the New Testament? I don't think so. I think what Isaiah has in mind is that he is the Father of eternity. The Father of eternity. Think of it this way. You remember Jesus said to the people of his day that the devil was the father of lies. He is the originator of lies. Jesus is the originator of eternity. And so he is the Father, the Almighty Father, the Everlasting Father, indicating again his deity, but also understanding it has to do with the origin of eternity, whose goings forth, the Bible says, have been from of old and from everlasting. And then the Prince of Peace. A couple of weeks ago, I told you about the different kind of peace that God brings to us. There is, of course, peace with God, which is critical. Your greatest problem and mine always has to do with God. And Jesus here is the Prince of Peace. And he not only can bring us to the Father and, you know, all that sin that's troubling you, it really can be taken care of. The consequences may continue, but you today are able to walk away knowing that you are forgiven. And only God can forgive you. And that's why Jesus came. But he can bring you in peace with God, but also peace with yourself. I speak to some of you here today who are a cauldron of emotions. You have a civil war that is going on inside of you. Again, the mighty counselor speaks peace. Could you even imagine Freud? Could you imagine Freud saying something like this? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If Freud had said that, he should have been locked up somewhere. Only God can say that. And the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace said, my peace I give to you. He is the Prince of Peace. Some of you are struggling because of guilt, aren't you? There was a man by the name of Glenn Tinder. Glenn believed in Christian Science. Now, Christian Science really does not believe in the existence of evil. And there are some pantheistic systems that actually also believe that evil doesn't really exist. In another context, we could go into that in more detail. But here's Glenn's problem. During the war, during the Second World War, he killed some Japanese soldiers that he thought were guilty, but they weren't. They were innocent civilians. Now, he's dealing with the whole issue of guilt and evil. But the problem is his religion won't allow him to admit that he did anything evil because evil doesn't exist. By the way, if you meet anybody who doesn't believe that evil doesn't exist, help them a little bit. Let them read the Chicago newspapers or watch the news. But be that as it may. So here he is, he's struggling just like some of you are. And then he is given a Bible and he reads about Jesus. And in reading about Jesus and the coming of Jesus to rid us of our sins, that's what the angel said to Joseph. He has come, the scripture says, to save his people from their sins. There is then a solution for having killed two innocent people, however naively or ignorantly it was done. And Glenn came to saving faith in Christ, and his conscience was eased. There's nobody else out there that can do that, my friend. Go ahead, search the libraries, do the study, and find out if you have a Prince of Peace who actually delivers, and you'll discover there's nobody out there like Jesus. He actually delivers as the Prince of Peace. So look at how far we've come. He has a very special origin. He has a special name, a long name that we've divided into four parts. He has a special name, and now he has a special responsibility. You'll notice it says in verse 7, of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And is this going to happen or isn't it? Well, what does the text say? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You know, if God says he's going to do it, it's going to happen. Now, what does this mean? He's going to rule over the territory of David. He's going to reign on David's throne. I'm going to give you a little lesson here in theology today. Well, actually, I've been giving you a whole lot of lessons in theology just in the last few moments. There are some people, God bless them, and some of you are brought up in denominations that I will not mention that teach this. That when the Bible refers to Jesus ruling over the territory of David or on the throne of David actually is in heaven. This is the heavenly reign of Jesus. Well, I have to tell you, that certainly would be a surprise to David, to whom God gave the promise in 2 Samuel 7, that there's going to be a son who's going to reign over your territory and do it forever. That would really be a shock to David. Oh, yeah, really? In heaven? Oh, I see. Where did David rule? He ruled in Jerusalem. Where is it that Jesus is going to rule someday? From Jerusalem. And if you have never been to Israel, be encouraged, because if you're a believer, you're going to be coming down to the Mount of Olives, Zechariah chapter 14. His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives is going to split in two, and the topography of the area is going to be changed. But Jesus is still going to rule from there. That is known as pre-millennialism, pre meaning before, that Jesus is returning in glory before the millennium to establish his kingdom, the word millennium meaning 1,000, based on Revelation chapter 20. And then that kingdom eventually is subsumed into a heavenly kingdom. So Jesus does rule forever, but there is a time coming when Jesus will still rule this earth from the territory that David ruled and over that territory. I mean, I have to tell you, folks, this to some of us is so clear that we sometimes have a little bit of fun with those who disagree with us. Think of the angel coming to Mary. Just think of this. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. How in the world would Mary have understood that? Oh, thank you very much for telling me he's going to rule in heaven. No. Jesus is still going to rule. But here's the pay dirt for you and me. It says that the government of the world, middle of verse 6, the government shall be upon his shoulders. Well, if Jesus is going to rule and the government is going to be upon his shoulders, how strong are the shoulders of Jesus? I'd say pretty strong. As a matter of fact, those shoulders, first of all, they bore the weight of the cross, maybe 150 pounds as Jesus was going through Jerusalem carrying his own cross. But that cross was much heavier than the 150 pounds. That cross symbolized the fact that our guilt, our sin, your sin, Mr. and Mrs. Big Sinner, and when I pointed my finger at you, I had four pointing back at myself. Jesus bore that sin so that you and I wouldn't have to, and the wrath of God was unleashed upon his shoulders. There was no sin in Jesus, but the God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. His shoulders were able to bear the weight of our sin. Do you think that Jesus can bear the weight of your coming week? Of course he can, if you acknowledge him. If you think of church as just some place to attend, and then you forget everything you learned, and then you go back to the work and back to the stress, and you think about Jesus again next Sunday, he will not bear your burdens. It's based on relationship. It's based on faith. It's based on trust. And that is developed through your reading the word, through your acknowledging of him in the morning. A woman came to her pastor and said, "Pastor, what do you think? Should we just mention the big issues in our life to God? Should we also trouble him with our little issues?" That's a good question. Well, I'm glad you're here to hear the answer. To God, there are no big issues that we bring to him. They are all small issues to our Almighty God and our Savior. So you bring the small ones, no different to God than the, quote, big ones, and he can handle it because the governments of the world will be upon his shoulder. The question, of course, is whether or not you are willing to transfer your burden, your need to Jesus. Because Jesus becomes to us whatever we need at the moment. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. If it has to do with holiness, if it has to do with your inner world, you bring it to Jesus, and Jesus is adequate for it. Because he is the mighty God, the great and wonderful Savior. I began by talking about Zebulun and Naphtali, the two tribes who sat in gloom, the scripture says, to whom there is going to be light that is going to shine, and the light, of course, comes through Jesus. Could I ask you a question? Are you walking in light, or are you just managing your darkness? There are many people who just manage their darkness as best they can. Whether it's through alcoholism, drugs, the emptiness needs to be filled with something, and they are managing their darkness. The Prince of Peace can come to you today, and he is the only one who can do it. Come with me to the United Nations in New York. If you're at the United Nations building and you walk across the street, you come to what is known as the Isaiah Wall. And on it are written these words: they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And then it says Isaiah. Well, why doesn't it give the reference? It's chapter 2, verse 4. Why not give the reference? They don't want anybody to read Isaiah at that point. Because the reference is, he, Messiah, shall rule, and then peace will come. Jesus is the only one who is able to bring us peace. And if you come to him today, he'll bring light to your soul, and the light might give you pain, but it will also give you guidance. And you'll be delivered from spending the rest of your life just somehow managing the darkness, stumbling over things, and you don't even know what you're stumbling over when you're walking in the dark. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. Open your heart to the light, to the Savior. Special origin, special name, special responsibility, and he has you in mind. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Let me ask you a question. Are you encouraged as a result of the ministry of Running to Win? Do messages like the one that you have just heard inspire you in the race of life? If you're answering yes, it's because people just like you have invested in this ministry. And even as we anticipate the new year, we hope to expand this ministry, and we trust that God will enable us to do that for his glory. Let me ask you a question. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner? We think of endurance partners as those who run the race of life with us. Together, we run toward the finish line. Of course, you need some info, so let me give that to you. You go to rtwoffer.com, click on the Endurance Partner button. You go to rtwoffer.com, or you call us at 1-888-218-9337. Let me say this, we do not take for granted any contribution that is given to this ministry, whether it is large or small. We seek faithful men and women committed to getting the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing our vision, and helping us as the gospel continues to go around the world. We're deeply appreciative of your involvement. By the way, I'm holding here a letter from someone who is a military veteran. He shares how he spreads the gospel of Jesus Christ and uses our resources. And it's because of people like you that we can continue. Once again, that contact info, rtwoffer.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button, or you can call us at 1-888-218-9337. Thank you in advance for joining hands with us in the journey of life.
You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Today, Pastor Erwin Lutzer concluded The King's Credentials, a study in Isaiah chapter 9.
Next time, we turn to the King's family tree, a look at the genealogies of Jesus and why they give him the legal right to the throne. Plan to listen. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.